The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Thousands of Gnomies listening to the stream right now, and I'm so happy to hear that. We've literally got thousands of them, not just hundreds, literally thousands of Gnomies listening to us right now. And it's exciting doing this live broadcast. In reaching so many people, talking to people who really influence the industry. And one of the people who had been in touch with me for many years, a Gnomie, his name is Kyle Kylan, and I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. He's going to be hopefully joining us here in just a second. He had called into the board, but apparently his call got dropped. So Ponzi's going to, I think, try to reconnect with him, and hopefully everything will be okay when he comes back in. Oh, I think he's back on the board right now, and so hopefully now I'm going to be introducing you to a Gnomie who has been emailing me for several years. And I can't remember the first message that Kyle sent me, but it was something along the lines of that, you know, he had been enjoying what I was writing about and that he was a stepfather of an actor who I may have known about, Kevin Wiseman. And Kevin, I knew his face, and then I was finally able to attach the face with the name. He played, for a while, played a lot of smaller roles. He played a character on one episode of The X-Files. He also did, I think he did a piece on The Weird Al Show, and I remember catching him as one of the three guys who hated Drew Carey on The Drew Carey Show. You've seen his face, I guarantee it. And Kevin couldn't join us tonight because he was busy with his band Trainwreck. They're doing soundcheck stuff right now, and as I said earlier in the program, I wanted to really get, you know, have time where Kevin didn't feel terribly rushed. But I said, you know what, it'd be just as good that we would be able to speak with Kyle about kind of what's going on in his neck of the woods on the internet. Kyle, are you there?
I'm here, Chris.
Hey, it's good to hear you.
Good to hear you too. Although it's a little, the packet gods are not being kind tonight.
Yeah, it's unfortunately the network that we have set up, the voice isn't perfect from where you can hear it. But I guarantee when we upload the audio to the web, it'll sound tremendously better.
Well, I tuned in for a while and heard your guest. Your guest came in loud and clear.
Yeah. It's a strange situation since we're not using traditional phone lines. We have to make do with what we have at this point. So thank you for bearing with the packet loss as it was. So you emailed me a few days ago telling me about a particular event that's happening on Easter weekend.
Yes, it's called the Celebrity Snow Jam that's happening up in March 25th to the 27th in the Seattle area. And I thought that after we must have been emailing each other back and forth for 5 years or so, and I thought it was about time that we met up, and I thought you might like to drop by and meet all the celebrities we're bringing up and play around with in the snow, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen, at least the snow part.
Yeah, they were saying that Seattle may have a drought this year because there hasn't been much rainfall in winter, unlike California.
Well, we've got, as you and I talked about, we've got all of your rain down here, and you're welcome. You're welcome to have it back anytime. It looks like it's going to rain this coming weekend as well.
You know, I'm sure we'll get plenty of it in the future. We're just letting you get a taste of it, you know, trying to warm you up or, I guess, cool you down, so to speak. So the Celebrity Snow Jam is not just kind of a gathering of celebrity folks. I mean, it's being done for a reason.
Yes, Celebrity Snow Jam is to benefit. We're holding this particular name, and hopefully it's the first of many of the annual Celebrity Snow Jams to benefit the Duchenne Muscular Dystrophy Research Fund, which I founded, and other family members and with me as well, including Kevin. My nephew is dying. I have an 11-year-old nephew who is dying from Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and the problem that we're having with all the boys that are having with the Duchenne muscular dystrophy is that there is very, very little research that's being done. And right now, the disease has no cure and no treatment, and it's 100% fatal. And it's a terrible thing to happen, and it's also quite a random thing. Should I go on a little bit more about it?
Yeah, I was curious to know when you knew that he had been, I guess, impacted by this.
He was young. He was about 4 or 5, which is when the disease most often manifests itself. What Duchenne muscular dystrophy is a genetic disease which causes a progressive and rapidly progressive weakening of all the muscles in the body. It's the leading cause. It's the number one fatal genetic disease of children worldwide.
Wow.
And it affects primarily boys because the defective gene, the dystrophin gene, which, by the way, is the largest gene in the human body by a factor of almost 100, the dystrophin gene is located on the X or female chromosome. So the disease can be inherited, and this is a real shock if anybody out there knows anything about genetic diseases. Most genetic diseases, they have what's called a spontaneous mutation rate, and that's when the gene mutates for some unknown reason. And it's about 1%, maybe, or 0.5%. In Duchenne muscular dystrophy, the spontaneous mutation rate is about 40%, which means that even if you have no family history of muscular dystrophy, there is a chance that anybody's child could be born with Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
1 in 2,400?
That's the rate. 1 in 2,400 boys worldwide are born. As I mentioned, that there is no cure, there's no treatment, there's very little that can be done for the boys. They're generally confined to a wheelchair, about anywhere from 10 and 12, and the average age of death of these guys is about 16. So the gene was discovered in 1985, and there's been precious little research done since then. And what little research that has been done has been sponsored by individuals like myself who get together, a foundation or a group of people like myself, whose kids are affected or whose family members are affected, and we raise money for research. And this is what the Snow Jam, the Celebrity Snow Jam, is for, is to raise money for research. And hopefully a lot of your listeners will be in the area and they'll come out and enjoy some skiing if we have skiing, but there'll be a lot of other things to do, including we've got a big benefit poker party on Saturday night at the Premier Club in Seattle. And the celebrities will be there playing poker, and there's a big party afterwards, and everybody should come.
So it's open to the public?
It's open to the public, yeah.
Wow.
We'd be 21 and older, I understand. But that public otherwise.
So you started this fund after you realized that one of the members of your family had been afflicted.
I started when I realized that it hit home emotionally that my nephew was affected by Duchenne. There's an intellectual understanding which I had for the first couple of years. Oh, this is terrible, this is awful. But it wasn't until he really started having problems, the emotional component kicked in for me, that I decided that I had to do something. I just couldn't sit back and watch him die. And yep. that's what most the people who are active in raising funds for research, that's generally what happens, that they go through those 5 degrees or 5 different steps of mourning, and the last one is a negotiation. What are we going to do about this? So my negotiation was, I'm going to see if I can raise some money and see if we can find a cure.
Now, how has the internet helped you in doing this? Because I can imagine the people listening, you know, have either been involved with an organization that's similar to yours, or you know, have wanted to do something. How have you found the internet to be a tool in making all this happen?
The internet's been a godsend. The internet has probably enabled us to reach people all throughout the, not just the nation, but throughout the world who have little bits and pieces of information and tie them together into an informal network of researchers and parents and physical therapists and physicians to explore avenues of treatment. If it weren't for the internet, we would not have been able to connect. We probably wouldn't have been able to find researchers that are doing business in Australia or in Germany or in Spain until they had gotten to a certain point where perhaps they had given up because they didn't get the enough information. So the internet has proved to be invaluable, and another way that the internet has proved to be valuable also is that one of the paths that we're taking in research is we're investigating all of the drugs that have been approved by the FDA for use for some other purpose, and seeing if they might possibly be of use for Duchenne. And a lot of that research, which is incredibly time-consuming, a lot of that research is being farmed out to people through the link through the internet all over the world. So when their computers are inactive, they're turning it over to researchers who are using those computational resources via the internet to run statistical analysis and so forth on these various drugs.
So you've found I guess a network that you may not have realized existed. Have you found people on your own? Have you seen that more people have come to you after having set up the particular website for this? And I believe it's at dmdfund.org.
There have been a lot of people who've just who've. I don't know. Let me start over again. The website has really provided and the opportunity to communicate, not just my website, but there are other websites set up by people who are undergoing or have undergone the same problems with Duchenne. People who have a family member who has died from Duchenne. The websites, the fact that there's somebody out there that is willing to talk about it, has enabled people to connect, to begin and say, well, this is what happened to me, and now I didn't know that there was anybody out there who was trying to do this, and I thought I was isolated, and I thought our family was the only one, and now I see that there's a whole community out there, and I want to pitch in and help. So it's really, it's helped people, it's sort of emotionally, it's helped people from a, and it's helped us from a financial standpoint as well in terms of contributions and so forth.
You said something the other day during our first phone conversation after having written back and forth for many years. You said that the boys who have Duchenne muscular dystrophy, they still have dexterity in their fingertips, so they can still play video games, correct?
Yes.
How could that be?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
I'm curious. It's such a degenerative disease that how would it be that they could still play video games?
That's one of the many things that scientists, or the few precious few scientists that are doing research, don't understand. But it looks like... It looks like something along the lines, from what the research I understand, something along the lines of it affects the Duchenne affects the major muscles first, and the major muscle groups, and it starts from the feet up, calves up. One of the ways that you can that these parents tell that their child might have Duchenne muscular dystrophy is at about age 3 or 4 or 5. They notice that the child has bulging calves, just really, really muscular, except they're not muscular. What it is dead tissue. It's the scar tissue that has replaced the muscles. And the child starts to stumble and has difficulty maintaining his balance and has difficulty getting up from a sitting position on the floor. And the progresses up through the trunk, up through the hips, and up through the trunk, and it affects the muscles, the smaller muscles, the ones that have the that control the fingers. And those are among the last to go.
Hmm.
So these guys are. They love technology. They love the video games. They love being on the internet. And this is how, especially towards the end, when they have difficulty in talking, this is how they communicate. They're still able to type. They're still able to manipulate the joysticks, and so that the video games are a really important means for them. Not, as I said, not just to play as for diversion, and also they play a lot of online games. So this is a way to communicate with people that they perhaps would not have.
Do you take, let's say, used games or old games and distribute them to these boys?
Yeah. We have some of the video game companies have been, or actually the companies themselves have not, but some of the people who are with the video game companies have been pretty generous with their support. That they have given us a number of games that we've been able to distribute. Would love to have more, because they're just, and we'd love to have players. The problem, of course, is that the kids can't afford, whose families can't afford the players, because this is a horrendously expensive disease for parents. If they don't have medical insurance or if they don't have money, they can't afford the things that they need to keep their children alive or mobile and alive. The powered wheelchairs, for example, are $4,000 or $5,000 a piece. The kids have to have, at a certain stage, hospital beds. They've got to have a number of different operations just to keep them upright, to keep the pressure sitting up so the pressure is off their diaphragms and so they can breathe. And so to find parents who have that, who've gone through that experience, that expense, and also are able to buy expensive video games and video players and so forth, it's difficult. So if we could get the video game community to donate the players and the games, I think it would really help them out quite a bit.
Now, in terms of numbers, at any given time, how many boys are living with this?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. The number that I quoted earlier, the 1 in 2,400, is a statistical construct that I came up with based from a number of different studies, a number of limited studies. And I have seen studies that show that, as you know, the latest one I saw, I guess, was 1 in every 1,700 boys. And there's another study that shows 1 in every 2,238 boys. But nobody has had the money to do a complete epidemiological survey, which is who has it, where are they located, what are the commonalities? Are they near a source of pollution? Are they near the ocean? Are they in the mountains? What ties them in, if there is such a tie, with the communities? So nobody really knows the exact number. And when you get into the third world countries, they don't even know what Duchenne muscular dystrophy is.
Mm.
All they know is that about 4, 5, or 6, the boys start getting weak. They get weaker and weaker, and they die. Mm. And it's unknown. The cause is unknown.
You find
it's
a worldwide problem. It's not
Absolutely.
Just it's not just local, so to speak.
Oh no! It's a worldwide phenomenon. And in spite of the fact that Duchenne primarily affects boys. It is still the number one fatal genetic disease of children worldwide.
Wow.
It affects only half the population.
But
it's still the number one fatal genetic disease.
If it's so large, then why is it that, I guess, number one, this is the first I've heard of this particular type of muscular dystrophy, and I must tell you that just in recent days, my mother found out. I mean, I've got a genetic problem too with my eyesight. My grandmother has macular degeneration, and my mom just found out that it's likely that her eyesight's going to really go downhill in a couple years too. So, I mean, it's something that I worry about. I mean, because you play with genetics. I mean, you never know what you're going to get. But why haven't we heard more about this particular issue, this problem?
The reason being is because it's one of those self-fulfilling prophecies. Somebody along the line must have said, or probably said, well, gee, you know, this is an orphan disease. There are not many people associated with this. And that perception built up in the community, so it was a self-fulfilling type of thing. People said, well, it's an orphan disease. I liken it, as you and I had talked about, I liken it to what I call the Volkswagen Beetle syndrome, that if you'd never seen one before, and I pointed one out to you on the road, pretty soon you'd see they're everywhere. Hmm. And it's the same thing with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. If you know nothing about it, it really doesn't, it's not one of those things that you notice, but as soon as you know a little bit about it, it seems that people everywhere, somebody has been touched by it. Somebody that you know has been touched by it. Somebody that somebody knows. And it's really, you can imagine that at that rate, at one in every 2,400, or even at a higher rate, at a fairly good size elementary school or secondary school, you're going to have two or three boys who have Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And the kids may not know what it is, but there'll be a kid in a wheelchair.
Now you...
And as time goes on, there'll be a kid, if he's lucky, will have a powered wheelchair, and they may not know it's Duchenne muscular dystrophy. There's just a kid in their school that has a wheelchair.
You have a section on the website at dmdfund.org, something called Hearts of Gold, and under there you have listed a few names. What is Hearts of Gold, a special kind of designation for people who support this cause?
Yeah, those are people who've and hopefully, since this is a fairly new organization, hopefully we're going to be able to expand that. Those are people who've really done, either made a significant contribution financially or otherwise. Tim Conway, the actor, is one of those people, and he's helped us immensely by being on some of the promotional materials I use, by speaking about it whenever he's being interviewed, and also financially. And my stepson and the fellow who's put a lot of time into developing my website and helping me with materials. And hopefully the more people who pitch in, there's not a monetary figure or not a significant event that'll trigger it. It's just something that the board of directors say, gee, this is a wonderful thing this person has done. Let's put their name up there.
It seems that it's just the awareness has just begun. And doing things like the Celebrity Snow Jam, I think is just – it's fantastic, first of all, that you're doing it up here. It sounds like it's going to be not just a fun event, but a pretty big event.
It's going to be a pretty good time event. We're going to have about 20 celebrities there, and
when you say celebrities, who's planning on being there?
Well, we're bringing up from right now. They're mostly we've asked friends of Kevin's, Fockers, Fokers,
friends of Kevin.
Friends of Kevin's. There's some people from Alias, and it's still kind of open as to how many are going to be there, but David Anders, who plays Sark, if you've seen the show, but he plays one of the bad guys, will be there, and Ron Rifkin, who plays Sloan, who is the head of SD6, which is the bad guy organization, he's now the head of the CIA organization, will be up there. And we have a couple of really nice guys from the West Wing. Richard Schiff, who is a regular, who plays the communications director on the West Wing, the bearded fellow. And Gary Cole, who plays the vice president, who is involved in the election campaign on the West Wing.
Huh.
And then some people like David Alan Grier is going to be there, and some actors from the kids show Lizzie McGuire, or young people show, Lizzie McGuire will be there. And just some interesting people who have a real interest in Duchenne and want to see what they can do to raise the awareness.
Terry, I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the last guest we had, Kyle. Jake, the producer of the show, is kind of. We're in a back channel, kind of writing back and forth, and he's bringing up an interesting perspective from our earlier guest tonight, Terry. And Terry has been talking about the disintermediation of media, or I guess the decentralization of media. And mm-hmm. I don't know if you'll be able to hear him okay, but Jake, could you explain what you were just writing about in the chat room?
Sure. The thing that I'm thinking about here is Terry was talking about there's a community journalism project going on where there's a website that has basically armed a reasonably large group of informed citizens with some fairly low-cost 3-chip DV cameras, and they send these people out to report the news. And instead of getting like professional types to do that, and just sitting listening to this whole discussion about the Duchenne's muscular dystrophy, I was thinking, now could you take what Terry's talking about in terms of getting people to do these interviews and tie that back to some of the stuff going on with trying to get more information about the disease and get people to sort of have a volunteer effort and maybe give them a background on types of questions to ask so that you could build up a like sort of a repository of information that could be filtered through to look for commonalities.
Did you catch that, Kyle?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Which is one of the things we're trying to do. The support for Duchenne and our efforts are definitely grassroots. Up until about one of the first things that people, and just to kind of extrapolate a little bit on that, one of the first things that people ask is, well, what about the government? Doesn't the government fund the research? And up until about 2 years ago, there was not even a mechanism in place for the National Institute of Health, which is the conduit for all research monies for the federal government, or health research. There was not even a conduit in place with the NIH to fund researchers, and therefore there was no government research being done. They have what they call sort of a pigeonhole into which they put, called a study group. And there have been study groups, of course, over the years for cancer and for AIDS and for heart disease and so forth and so forth, but there's been no study group for muscles, even though muscles make up anywhere from 25 to 30% of your body mass. There has been no study group for muscles, and therefore there's been no research being done. And so this grassroots organization got together via the internet and made connection and said, hey, let's all get together and start lobbying the senator and that senator and so forth. And we were finally able to get 2 years ago to get Congress to about 2 or 3 years ago, I guess, to get Congress to authorize the NIH to form muscle study groups. Now, by the time money gets into that pipeline and they get the request for I just forgot what I was saying. Anyway, but by the time they get the request from the researchers for funding, and they start dispersing the funds, it's going to be 5-6 years down the road. So we again have to employ that same grassroots network to raise the money that we need to do research. To provide very much like we did in the tech industry, to provide the seed money for the research. Because that's another thing the government doesn't do. The government doesn't generally fund startup research. They come in after the startup research has progressed to a point where they can see that there's some possibility of success, and then they come in and fund it. So we're going to need private, even when the government money starts funding, we're still going to need private money to provide startup capital.
Now,
which people who are listening to tech know all about.
Now, I was going to ask, too, and just to kind of sidestep, your background obviously isn't in muscular dystrophy. What do you do for a living?
Well, I've done, I'm a serial entrepreneur, which is a grand, what I call it, it's a grand name for people like myself who start companies that either do well and then can be sold or don't do well at all, and then in which case you just walk away from them. I've had some internet companies. I was really interested in the VOIP early on. I just seemed to be a little too early with too early with too little money. Been in advertising, marketing, been a general contractor, so various things, and having none of those having to do with health or research or anything like this. This is completely new to me.
But you've got an idea, and you've got a mission. And you know, if there's one thing that you could communicate to people who wouldn't necessarily know where to start looking for this information, where would you direct them to find out more about this particular form of muscular dystrophy?
A good starting place is my website, DMD Fund, as you've mentioned, dmdfund.org. And I have been putting up links to other websites. There's another one called parentprojectmd.org. Parent Project started about 10 years ago by a woman who lost both of her sons to Duchenne muscular dystrophy within 6 months of each other.
Wow.
One was 15 and one was 17. And of her two daughters, one of the two daughters was found to be a carrier. So to say that Duchenne has torn her family apart is really an understatement. And she has just, her name is Pat Furlong, and she's been just a bulldog. She made a vow to her children, that her boys, that before they died, that no other boys, it would never happen to any other boys. It has happened, and it's continuing to happen, but her vow is, she's acting on that. And the ironic thing is we ended up that she lives about 15-20 miles from my brother, whose son has Duchenne. And my brother has the same sort of general background. She was a nurse practitioner, and her husband was a physician. And they didn't know anything about Duchenne muscular dystrophy. My brother is a emergency medicine doctor. And he had never heard of Duchenne muscular dystrophy either until his son was diagnosed. So, as a matter of fact, right now, to the best of my knowledge, there is not a single physician in this country who specializes in Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
Wow. Now,
think about that. That's really, you know, because people, parents who suspect that something's wrong with their children, have to go through doctor after doctor after doctor till they happen, if they're lucky, happen upon somebody who might have heard of what Duchenne muscular dystrophy is, and then can refer them to somebody who has the ability to do some genetic testing to see exactly what's happening. But there are people, as I said, who don't know that their children have Duchenne. And so they continue, I don't know whether they would continue to have children or not, but like the family I know, who all four boys have Duchenne, they were not aware of Duchenne's history until their eldest son, who is now 13, started falling about 7 or 8. And by the time they had all the, you know, the other kids had been born.
Do you know, at this point, if it's the male or the female that carries the Duchenne, I guess, gene?
Yeah, it's definitely carried by the female. The defective gene is located on the X chromosome. Women have two X's.
That's right.
When at conception, one of that X's is it goes to the child, and from the sperm will come a Y from the male. So if a woman has one of the X chromosomes has the defective gene, then there's 50% chance that her son will be born. If she has a male, her son will be born with Duchenne. Or is what happened to my brother and his wife. It can be a spontaneous thing that the gene mutates, breaks, essentially is what mutation is in this case. Spontaneously, nobody knows why. Nobody knows why it breaks in the first place, but nobody knows why it spontaneously mutates, and the child can be born with Duchenne.
Hasn't a lot of research been done with MS in general?
There's been some research done with MS, which is multiple sclerosis, but not with MD, which is muscular dystrophy.
And what's the difference between the two?
MS, as I understand it, is a disease of the nerves.
Okay.
It is also a genetic disease, but it's a disease of the nerves. Muscular dystrophy is a disease of the muscles.
Okay.
In which the muscle itself is... the muscle tissue dies and is replaced by scar tissue.
It's kind of scary to think about it. You just never know when something like this is going to pop up. I mean, like I said, you know, genetics are just we're just beginning to understand, you know, how they work and where they work. Are you turning to any particular organizations for help at this point, or have any organizations offered any assistance to the fund?
The answer is, Jim, is you've touched upon a sore point within the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community. The second question people ask when you say, well, there's no research being done, when I mean virtually no research, the first one, of course, is why isn't the federal government funding research? And the second one is, what about the Muscular Dystrophy Association? They do a telethon every year. But they're great folks at the MDA. They do wonderful work. It's a much valuable service, and if it weren't for the MDA and Jerry Lewis, most people would not have heard of muscular dystrophy at all. They're mostly an edifice type of organization with hospitals and clinics and wheelchairs and services such as that, which is wonderful. But they don't do much basic research. And they have 40 diseases under their umbrella, and they have, every year they have, last year they think they had $14 million to allocate between those 40 diseases for research.
Hmm.
Well, one drug trial, to bring a drug to the point where the FDA will approve it and be able to market it, the drug companies have estimated over the years that it cost about $500 million, and that's B, as in boy. The $14 million that the MDA devotes to research just isn't going to make it, especially when it's divided amongst 40 different diseases. So a lot of parents have gone to them and said, "Can you help us?" And they help with wheelchairs, and they help with some information, but it just doesn't, you know, the only way that they, since there is no treatment and no cure, the only way things are going to change is if there's basic research done. So that's why, and that's the only organization out there that people would think to turn to.
In terms of MD?
Yes.
Muscular dystrophy.
Exactly. You can get, but you can get some wonderful information through them. As I mentioned, through my website or Parent Project MD, standing for muscular dystrophy, .org. You can get information, but there is one standard textbook, one about muscular dystrophy, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, that's used worldwide, and it shows you that how little information is being circulated, and it's actually been how little research has been done. To have only one textbook that medical schools would possibly use to instruct about Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
You know, this is obviously a topic that impacts a lot of people, and my hope is in doing this. I mean, in the program that we do, the Chris Perillo Show, we generally talk about technology and how it impacts people, and obviously, you know, the website is helping bring people awareness. If we help just one person out there listening to this, maybe bring them closer to an answer of what their boy has, then I'll feel absolutely wonderful about sharing this time with you.
Yeah, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, because I know that this is a bit off your normal subject matter. Although, you know, there is a technological component to it, but it's not what one would normally think of when they think of tech and podcasting and so forth. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate the opportunity to go on air and tell people about it, and hopefully that you know, people will respond. They'll join in. They'll help raise money. They'll contribute. Reach out to other people, and raise the general awareness. Now, one of the things that I do want to mention, Congress, real quickly, Congress, when they established the it's called the MD Care Act, which instructed the National Institute of Health to establish a muscle study group, they also provided funding to establish four centers of excellence, which are scattered around the country. And one of the reasons that we wanted to come to Seattle and kind of blow our horns and bang our drums is that one of the four centers of excellence is located at the University of Washington.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And there's no reason why you would, because there's been no publicity about it.
Well, that would be why.
This is such a low key, you know, people overlook this. But this was, to people who are in the Duchenne muscular dystrophy community, this was a big deal to have a center of excellence, which is essentially saying that here in the University of Washington, under a fellow named Dr. Jeff Chamberlain, who is the director, that this will be one of the centers of research activity. And right in the heart of the tech community, there is a laboratory set up. There are only four of them in the country that needs funding, that needs support. And so that's one of the things that we're doing is saying, hey, it's right here in Seattle. You know, look around, everybody, it's right here. And we're hoping that the tech community can get in behind us with this and really support us.
And I'm very happy about it. I didn't think I'd meet too many celebrities in my backyard, but now it's going to be that way. And as I said, you know, I'll do what I can to help get the word out to locals. I know I'm connected into a few regional discussion lists of people, not only technologists, but I guess lay people as well. And I'll make sure I let them know that we're posting this particular interview online. And, of course, if you're listening to me saying this, it makes it even funnier. But, yeah, I definitely – you can count on me being there in Ponzi. We're definitely looking forward to spending our Easter weekend at the retreat. It's happening in – isn't it the Snoqualmish?
That's one of the locations. The other – it's at the Alpental Lodge, Ski Lodge, is where the ski events will hopefully take place, and the other events are going to be held at the Salish Hotel, which is a 5-star resort. I've been looking forward to that. That's the if anybody has ever seen that TV show years ago called Twin Peaks, that's the Twin Peaks Hotel.
Mm.
Very spooky, luxurious, interesting place right above the waterfalls. And then also the poker party and party will be held at the Premier Nightclub. And these are the DJs that there's one, three DJs are going to be there. I'll give you an example. Tsunami, interesting name. Dynamite D and Pam. And Dynamite D is the DJ for Beastie Boys, I believe.
Huh.
So it's going to be a good party. The tickets can be purchased at the door. We're also having, by the way, a raffle for a set visit to the area set. We'll fly you down from Seattle to Los Angeles, put you up in a hotel, take you over to the Alias set and meet all the cast. And we're also trying to get a special VIP ticket, and I think we're going to get some special VIP, special tickets to the VIP lounge for the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Wow.
Front row seats for that. So.
Wow.
And to meet Jimmy and we've got a couple of other things that we'll throw in, and those are we will be raffling that off on that Saturday night. That's the 26th.
See, I would love to just be cannon fodder, you know, just one of those guys who bites it, you know, just cannon fodder. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be fun, and you know, I'm looking forward to. I think you've got a video on the DMD Fund website. That explains a little more, and Ponzi was even asking, my fiance was asking a little more about what was going on, and of course, we're going to be bringing our mobile recorder with us, so, you know, we'll be able to grab a few sound bites and perspectives from the celebrities that you've brought up from the rainy state of California into the dry state of Washington. This isn't my last bit of assistance, and I'm waiting to hear back, by the way, from the people that I contacted regarding possibly getting a few more video game donations coming your way.
Oh, that'd be great.
So, yeah, just hopefully, and I appreciate the patience on that, but I will definitely put the word out to a few more individuals, but... let me work some magic, and hopefully anybody who's listening here, we're speaking with Kyle. Is it Kylan?
Kylan,
okay. When you say names for the first time after reading them online, you never know how you pronounce it. And Kyle is, and what we've been talking about here is Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And you can find more information about this at dmdfund.org. It afflicts approximately 1 in 2,400, and the statistics will vary, but it basically could be the kid next door. And this particular fund has been put together. A lot of information about this particular disease can be found at dmdfund.org. And I want to reiterate this. Part of what the unique, I guess, properties of this particular problem is that the fingers, there's still some amount of dexterity with DMD. And so if you have any video games, used video games, or you work for a video game company, or you know someone who works for a video game company, come on. I know there are thousands of geeks listening right now. So if they have something, if they have a video game that they've played, they've beaten, or they know where they can get them cheaper, they work for somebody, how would they get them to you, Kyle?
They can either send them to me, or we can set up when we get up there a place up in Seattle that can gather them up. We've got I can't tell you how many people are up there that are affected, but I know of at least I think at least 40 families that are in the Seattle area. In one little area of the Seattle area, and I know that there are a lot more out there as well, but they can either contact me through the website, and we'll make arrangements to have them picked up, and when we set up a distribution or a collection area up in that area, we will put that on my website as well. And also, if they want to bring them to event. We would begin the event, by the way, is CelebritySnowJam.com is where the information is. You can buy tickets there and at different events. There's a Easter egg hunt with the cast members of Lizzie McGuire. It will be on Sunday morning on the 27th, by the way. And at 3 o'clock on that afternoon, my stepson's band, Trainwreck, will be playing. And that features Kevin Wiseman of Alias and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D.
Gee, it sounds like
cool.
It sounds like so much fun, and it's even more, it's even better that it's happening for a cause. It's not just the fact that these are celebrities coming up to have fun in the snow. There's a reason this is happening. So, like I said, I will do my best to get the word out to Seattleites to try to raise awareness in the local scene. Not only in the blogging communities that I operate within, but also just the discussion lists that I know of. Since I do know a lot of geeks.
I'm looking forward to meeting you in person after all these years.
Yeah.
You'll have to bring your locker so I'll recognize you.
You know, the first time you emailed me, and it was a couple years ago. I think I may have even been living in Iowa at the time.
You were living in Iowa.
Yeah. It was funny because you said that you're Kevin's stepfather, and I didn't know. I mean, you can only – how much can you really believe, you know, is this true, is this true? And, you know, I believe everybody the first time, you know, I meet them, and until someone gives me a reason not to trust them, I trust them. And then, of course, today, this afternoon, while we were kind of getting – I was getting things organized in our studio, I got a call from Kevin. I mean, I actually got a call from Kevin, and I'm like, "Oh, it's wow, okay, cool." So it's not that I didn't believe you, but I did believe you, and it caught me off guard when you first approached me with that tidbit of information. And I'm glad to that our first time to meet is for such a noble cause.
Well, it'll be great, and I'm looking forward to it, and meeting as many people as possible, and saying hi, and pose with the celebrities and take pictures, and there'll be a lot of kids there with Duchenne at all our events, and we'd love to see everybody.
In the price of admission isn't too much. It isn't. It's
the I'm not quite sure what the party itself. The poker party is the tickets are $25 in advance and $30 at the door, which I understand is about just a little bit more than what you pay to get into Premier on a Saturday night anyway. And then the raffles is $10. $10 for a chance to fly down to L.A. and mingle with the cast of Alias and meet Jimmy Kimmel and his group. And
wow,
that's not a bad price.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I mean, that sounds like a chance to get out of the house and to actually do something with your time that's productive. And where the money is actually going somewhere that it could be used. So thank you.
All of the money that is raised through the events will go directly to research for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. We promote, thanks to the generosity of some of the sponsors, American Airlines and Car Toys and Salish and so forth, all of the expenses are covered. So everything is going. It's not like we say, well, we're going to raise this money and then 40% of it goes to expenses. No, 100% of it goes to research for Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
Wow. If someone hasn't told you thank you already, Kyle, thank you. I do not know anybody as of this moment who has DMD, but on their behalf, let me say thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks again for giving me the opportunity to tell people about this.
Well, I would feel bad if I didn't, and the reason why is because, you know, Locker Gnome has a wide reach, and our audience is pretty wide, and it's getting larger. And now with the ability to incorporate audio in an easier fashion through the show that we do, it just seemed kind of silly not to, just because. Yeah, we talk about certain things that, you know, our daily life is. The problem that we face is that our VoIP network isn't working, or we can't check our email, you know, and these problems are really, they're put into perspective when you start thinking about how life really could be. If you yourself, or just someone that you knew you know, and especially a child, a young boy, having something that you knew it was just, it was fatal, 100% fatal. And that's, it puts it in perspective. And so everybody, every once in a while, needs kind of a wake-up call like that. And, you know, that's, I guess that's where I'm hopefully being able to be a small conduit, a very small conduit, in helping get you from point A to point B, Kyle.
Well, and I really appreciate it. I don't agree with your characterization as of yourself as a small conduit. I know the reach of your newsletters.
Yeah, it's greatly exaggerated. My mom has actually signed up about 200,000 times, so that's the reason why. It's all my mom. She just keeps signing up under different email addresses. So.
And your mother's the one with the carpal tunnel syndrome. Right?
Yeah. Oh no, she's Mac.
She got from typing the different names in.
Yes. And I'm actually surprised I haven't developed it yet as fast as I type. I type very, very fast. I don't know what I would do without it, without the ability to type, that is. So, again, Kyle, thanks for spending time with us, and we'll definitely get more coverage and get a few celebrity sound bites and upload them to our show's website so that people can hear, you know, kind of what's going on in their world as well as the reason why they came out to support Duchenne. Or this particular
terrific
fund. So,
and again, I really appreciate it, and I appreciate everyone who's listening. I appreciate that that you've stayed with it this long, and that you listened. And it is true that one person can make a difference.
Let's hope.
You've seen it time after time after time. It's just that one person needs to step up and just join in. There are a lot of other one persons out there that are being connected by technology now. So if there is help if you have the disease, there is information, and if you don't have it, which I certainly hope that you don't and that your family is never affected by it, there are people who need your help.
Kyle, again, thank you, and I'm sure we'll be talking again at some point in the future to get an update and to get more a video game drive, if you will, in driving more games to the kids who really need them. So anyway, thanks again. And again, no problem, Kyle. We've got about 20 minutes or so left of the show at this point, and we've been speaking right here with Kyle Kylan. And Kyle and I have been speaking about Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And this is – more information can be found at dmdfund.org. And Kyle, as we had introduced and I had written about, is Kevin Wiseman's stepfather. And Kevin, you may know from Alias. And we'll be meeting Kevin here in a couple weeks at the Celebrity Snow Jam event. And we've got the links. We will have the direct links attached to this particular interview on the website, thechrisperilloshow.com. CelebritySnowJam.com is where you can find more information. And just in looking at that, they've got a lot of local support going on in this. Como 4, a local television station. American Airlines, obviously national. Car Toys, The End, which is a radio station around here. So there's quite a lot of support for this. And if you're in the Seattle area, and I realize not everybody who listens to the Chris Perillo Show is, it would be something that would be worthy of your time. And if you're not, and you've got a few video games lying around, and I bet you do, I just would invite you to swing by DMD or dmdfund.org and find out how to give them to someone who could really use them, and they really can. So anyway, I'm going to take a quick breather and let Jake play a little bridge music. I don't know if it's going to be some nice intermission organ type of tune, or it's probably something we've already heard before. So stick with us.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.